Looking at some Old Testament characters, and today we're going to be looking at a man by the name of Enoch. Enoch. And so our first reading is going to be in Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5 will be our first reading. And we'll read it at verse number 18. Genesis 5 and 18, Jared lived 162 years and begot Enoch. After he begot Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Jared were 962 years and he died. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. 1 Chronicles chapter 1. 1 Chronicles chapter 1. Verse 1, Adam, Seth, Enos, Canaan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. If you're following along, verse number 5, Hebrews 11 and verse number 5. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, almost to the end of your Bible, the little epistle of Jude, right before Revelation, Jude, we don't even have to say chapter 1 because there's only one chapter in it. And we're going to read in verse number 12 for connection. Jude, verse 12. Remember, it says in verse number 11, woe to them, they've gone on the way of Cain. They have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit. They have perished in the rebellion of Korah. Now these are spots in your love feast, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Now that's all we'll read from the scriptures concerning Enoch, because that is all that there is in the scriptures concerning Enoch. We have read every verse that references this particular Enoch. Interesting to think about Enoch. You know, he's a man that if we were to ask you, what do we know about Enoch? And maybe to the Sunday school children, many of them will have heard that he was a man who walked with God. A man who was not, for God took him up to heaven. He's a man that Hebrews tells us did not see death. And as I thought about Enoch, you know, there's a lot of things that we could think about him. We could think about the person, the actual person. We're going to touch on that a little bit. We could think about him as a parent. That's interesting to think of. I didn't really catch this until many years ago. I heard a man speak about Enoch, and one thing that stands out in my mind is that he said, you know that Enoch was a father of at least three boys and two girls, and likely more, and yet he had time to walk with God? I thought, wow, that's amazing. It was a good observation. So we could think about him as the parent. We could think about him as a husband. Not a lot told us about that, but clearly he was married and begot sons and daughters. We think about the man that brought pleasure to God. He pleased God. He had this testimony that he pleased with God. He was a man that prophesied. That's interesting. We don't think of Enoch necessarily as a man that was a prophet. And yet Jude tells us the only place in the entire Bible where it's recorded of actual words that Enoch said is found in Jude. So is a man that preached, he prophesied, and he told about things that were going to happen in the future. Of course, he's a man that walked with God. He's a man that witnessed for God. He was a man that is welcomed by God. He walked with God. He witnessed for God. And he was welcomed by God. I want to think with you today with me just a little bit of a number of things concerning Enoch as it has appealed to me. I want you to think with me about his life. His life. Relatively speaking, for his day, it was a short life. Shorter than the norm. And yet it was a full life. And specifically concerning his life, I want you to think about the man that turned to God. He turned to God. And of course, I want you to think about his walk. That's a very prominent feature that we have concerning Enoch. And he's the man, and this the word walk has this connotation with it. He traveled with God. He traveled with God, his walk. And of course, we couldn't think about Enoch, especially in the verses that we've read about the man who preached the word. He prophesied. He testified for God. He testified for God. So a man that turned to God, that's his life. He traveled with God, that's his walk. He testified for God, that's his preaching. And of course, he was the man that was taken. He was translated to God. His departure from this world, which was unlike any other apart from one other man, and we'll talk about him in a second. So Enoch's life, he turned to God. You see, this man, as you read about him, it says he was 65 years and begot Methuselah. So clearly he's had a period of time, he has gotten married, and he's had the joy of the arrival into this world of his firstborn. And it happened to be a son. And he called him Methuselah. And there's a lot of significance in that very name that he gave him. And it would seem that at that point, we can't be dogmatic on this, but it seems to appeal to me because of the next word. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years. Tremendous to think of. So is it possible that the birth of a son, the change in his responsibilities, caused him to wake up to the fact that his life needed to be changed and dedicated? And I wonder if perhaps there's someone here today, and what is it that God is going to use to make you wake up and think about reality? Think about that fact that you have responsibilities here in this world. But more than that, it seems as though that which lay on beyond his life gripped Enoch as never before. Because of him we read that he walked with God. Walked with God. Excuse me. As we go down through the chapter 5, you read about Adam. Adam lived. Verse 5, and he died. Verse 6, Seth lived. End of verse 8, and he died. Verse 9, Enos lived. Verse 11, and he died. Canaan lived, and he died. Mahalalel lived, and he died. Jared lived, and he died. Enoch lived. We don't read that he died. And a lot of people debate whether did he really, you know, maybe he did die and it's just not recorded. Well, you go over to Hebrews chapter 11, and what does it say? He did not see death. That settles it for me. The Word of God tells us very clearly that he was not. God took him. He did not see death. You know, that makes him very special. I think about Enoch, and when you read about Enoch, he is one of three people that's referred to in the Scriptures who walked with God. We have Enoch himself. He walked with God. Over in the next chapter of Genesis, we'll have Noah, and we know that he walked with God. And then when you go all the way to the end of the Old Testament concerning Levi, it says there that he walked with me in truth and equity. So we might say Enoch is one of three who walked with God. But so far as not seeing death, he's one of two. Because there was another man, his name was Elijah, and he was the one who left this world in a whirlwind, in a chariot, and he was taken up to heaven. He did not see death. Just like Enoch, so he's one of two. But I think there's something very special about Enoch because so far as I can tell, so far as the actual phrase is concerned in the Scriptures, only once out of one person, apart from the Lord Jesus, do we read about a man who pleased God. Enoch pleased God. That's Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Amazing to think. A man who did not see death, a man who walked with God, and a man who pleased God. So here is a man who turned to God, a man that really realized something of his responsibilities, and he turned to God. You know, he never regretted turning to God. As far as his life was concerned, you can be sure of this, that the life that pleases God is a pleasing life. There's no life like it. A life that pleases God is a life that has difficulty. But then you realize, I have a Heavenly Father to turn to in every circumstance of life. And here was a man who knew what it was to walk with God. When he started to walk with God, it seems there was no turning back for him. And while I said that relative to the life expectancy at that time, he didn't walk with God as long as maybe others might have been able to, so far as their life expectancy was concerned. But there's one thing we learn about from Enoch is that a relatively short life can be a very full life when it's lived in fellowship with God. And that's what we have in Enoch. I want to ask you, have you had a time when you started to walk with God? You see, there's one thing about a walk and concerning walking with God especially. We learn that in Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? And so far as walking with God is concerned, we would need to be in agreement with God. And I look back on my life, and I think about a time when I didn't agree with God. When I would hear people preaching about sin, preaching about the consequences of sin, I was not in agreement with what I was hearing from God's word. Where do you stand today? Are you in agreement with God that he says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? Are you in agreement with God when he says, I have appointed a day in which I will judge the world in righteousness? Are you in agreement with God that he says, because of your sin, I will send my son to die for sinners? Christ died for the ungodly. We read four times in Jude concerning the ungodly. Thank God there's a message of hope for the ungodly. Christ died for the ungodly. That's why he came. That's the kind of people he died for, was the ungodly. So we can't walk with God if we're not in agreement with God. We can't walk with God until we have an experience of coming to faith in him. Hebrews tells us about Enoch's faith in God. What would that be today? Faith in Christ. Faith in what the Savior did upon the cross at Calvary. I said he turned to God. You see, that's the essence of repentance. It's agreeing with God against yourself and making an about turn. Turning away from sin and turning toward God. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have that moment, that experience of salvation? Enoch was sure of it. He was so sure of it, he told about it. He told others about his salvation. He warned them that there was consequences for their sins. He knew what it was to experience that life in his own experience, and that he'd come to faith in God, and he'd begun to walk with God. And as I said, he never looked back, because he says he walked with him 300 years. Now, relative to others who were living at that time 900 years, and the total expanse of his life was 365, his was a very full life. Does that make you think about another person who lived a relatively short life in this world, and yet his life was a full life? I commend to you the Savior, the Lord Jesus. But only what? 33, not even 34 years of age, most likely. But here was a man that lived a perfect life. Here was a man, Christ Jesus, who constantly walked with God. Very little is told us about Enoch. A lot is told us about the Lord Jesus. And the Enoch who pleased God of the Lord Jesus, the heavens could be opened and say, this is my beloved Son, and whom I am well pleased. What a picture of the Lord Jesus Enoch is. You have a time when you began to walk with God. Christian, are you walking with God? Is our lives occupied with the Lord Jesus? In our walk, what is a walk anyway? We were talking with somebody yesterday, and we were thinking about how can we walk with God? How is it possible to walk with God? Well, I've mentioned about, can two walk together except they be agreed? That's the first thing. He agreed with God. Micah tells us in chapter 6 and verse 8, what does the Lord thy God require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? Enoch clearly was a man that was marked by humility. It wasn't about him. It was all about God. That's one of the secrets. Agreement with God and humility before God. I wonder if Enoch, of him it could be said, you know, I wake in the morning with thoughts of his love. I wake in the morning of thoughts of God who has saved me, who has redeemed me, who has set me free. And then to occupy his day with his thoughts for God. Now, he just didn't sit in a nice easy chair and bask in the sunshine of heaven and say, oh, to think about God every day and do nothing. We don't see that. Certainly, he was a man who worked for God because he proclaimed the word of God. He taught it. He prophesied. He warned people. And as I alluded to earlier, I would rather say that he had some responsibilities in the home front as well, in raising at least 5 children and being a husband and a provider. This was a man who knew what it was to be busy and yet still walked with God. He pleased God. I mentioned that the Lord Jesus was well-pleasing to God. You know, it was interesting to think about Solomon. God asked him and said, you know, what is it that you request for? And it tells us that Solomon pleased God when he asked for wisdom, not for a long life, not for riches, and not for the life of his enemies. It pleased God that he did that. And then what did God do to the man who put him first? He says, I will give you a wise and discerning mind, but also riches and honor and so on. And so, as Jim Elliot said, he is no fool who gives to God what he cannot keep so that he may gain what he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives to God what he cannot keep so that he may gain what he cannot lose. Enoch had his eye on eternity. He realized that he wouldn't always be here. To think of some of us, we act like we're going to be here forever. We are occupied with the comforts of earth, perhaps more than the glories of heaven. I speak to my own shame. He pleased God, but he walked with God. I thought about the action of walking, you know. We did a fair amount of walking when we were away, and it was lovely. Lovely to walk. What's the first thing you think about when you're walking with somebody? Well, if I was walking with Alan right now, it'd be kind of weird walking with him right now when he's, you know, 40 feet away from me. But if we're walking, it's generally in close proximity. There's a nearness, and in the physical realm, there's a closeness when we're walking. Another thing about walking is we're often in step together as we walk. Close proximity, we walk alongside one another, we're in step with one another, and of course, typically a walk has some kind of destination with it, a destiny. But with God, always remember, he is the one who leads. It's not God walking with us. It's not God following us. But it is us walking with God. Because when we walk with him, it will always be the right thing to do. It may bring us into difficulty. It may cause us a path of suffering. But we can be sure that if we're in the will of God, that's the right place to walk. He leads, we follow, a recipe for a good walk. So how do we walk with God today? Well, so far as I can tell, Enoch made a conscious decision in his heart that a God-directed, God-filled life was a worthwhile life. And so to walk with God is a decision, first of all, internally. But it is also a decision that we make intentionally. You see, we won't just sort of happen upon this walk casually. Oftentimes, and this is true for believers as well, oftentimes there is some type of crisis happens in the life that causes us to wake up to the sleepiness that has marked our Christian life to date. And God brings circumstances to bear that causes us to think, hey, only one life, 'twill soon be past, and only what's done for the Lord Jesus will last. What am I doing? Am I occupied with what he wants for me? This is what causes a person to really reflect upon what they're doing, how they're doing it, and whether all of those things in their life pertain to me versus God and God's people. Has a crisis come in your life of some kind that has caused you to wake up to the reality that you need to walk with God? Has it happened in my life? Or are we just frittering away our years? Someone in my house is having a birthday this week. And later on this summer, somebody else is going to have a birthday, and that's me. And when we look at the leading digit of that number that we're turning, we're like, whoa, I'm that old? And then we have the folks that are on the front rows, and they say, oh, you know nothing about age. Wait till you get to my age. And I suddenly realized that, humanly speaking, we're nearer the end than we are the beginning. And that's solemn. That causes us to wake up and think about, how am I going to occupy the remaining years if the Lord be not come? And I don't know if I have years or months or weeks or days or hours. Enoch made a decision to walk with God. It was something he did every day. I judge that for a man to walk with God in this way, he had to make that decision every single day. I want to walk with God. I want to be where he is. I want to do what he says. I want his will over my own. I want to please him first, not others and not myself. Conscious decision. To walk with God is to not walk with the crowd. You see, we all have peers. And if our peers are in the world and they're doing what the world offers, whether they profess to be a Christian or not, we won't walk and please God if we choose to just go along with the crowd and the peers and what they're interested in and what they're scrolling through and what they're occupied with. If that's the manner of their life and that becomes the manner of our life, it's a wasted life. And a wasted life doesn't please God. And a wasted life is not a life that is walked with God. Because if we walk with God, we can be sure of one sure thing. We won't waste our life. He was relatively young when he chose to walk with God. And judging by the things that he preached in Jude, that we have the privilege of being recorded for us, his preaching would not have made him popular with his neighbors, nor with those who were frittering their life away on wasteful things. He was not afraid to call out people for an ungodly life, and yet he presented a means whereby they might escape. He walked with God 300 years. He had sons and daughters. He walked with God. When you go to Ephesians, we read there in chapter 5 about those that walked, and I just thought it was so interesting. I'm just going to highlight it for you. In Ephesians chapter 5, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ has loved us and given himself for us. Verse 7, do not be partakers with them. Walk in love, yet it was a walk of separation. Verse 8, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk, as children of the light. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Walk as children of the light, yet you must also walk a life of separation. Verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly. That means prudently and carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Walk circumspectly. Walk a life of separation. And did not that mark the life of Enoch? He redeemed the time. He walked with God. What about us? A man who turned to God, a man who traveled with God, the man who testified for God, Enoch the prophet. Oh, what about his preaching? We don't know very much about him, but what is given? Here is a man who, the man who walked with God and the man who pleased God, or the woman for that matter, will have an understanding of God's prophetic program. Because that pertains to eternity. God's prophetic program leads onward to eternity. And what is going to happen in this world ought to be of interest to us. It was to Enoch. It ought to be of us, to us. The things that Enoch prophesied about, he was never going to see. But they mattered to him. And the things that we proclaim about concerning the judgment that's going to fall in this world, we may never see, but it matters to us because people are affected by those things. And we have a love and a care, and we want to see people rescued and saved out of those things. He prophesied about the Lord's coming. He spoke about the saints coming with the Lord. He spoke about the purpose of the coming of the Lord with the saints. And four times over, in that prophecy concerning the Lord's coming, he warned that judgment would be executed upon all to convict all who are ungodly of all their ungodly deeds committed in an ungodly way and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These things matter to Enoch. And he proclaimed them in faithfulness to his God. He testified for God. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us that he had this testimony that he pleased God. So he had testifying for God. He had a testimony. You know, as I think about a testimony, sometimes it's what has God revealed and shared to you and witnessed to you from his word, from circumstances, and it has given you comfort and confidence. See, that's a testimony. And in the context of Hebrews 11, in the context of Hebrews 11, it would seem that the witness was from God to Enoch himself. The very things that you are doing are pleasing to God. But if we expand it out, because there's another possibility, this man had a testimony amongst his peers, amongst his community, that he pleased God. You see, when you looked at the life of Enoch and say, boy, his life's different than my life. There's something about endearing about a person who walks with God. You know, he might have been different in how he acted and what the things that he said. He might have been measured in the things that he said. And we would have said, now, there's a man that's in touch with the Almighty. And there are people that I have had the privilege of knowing, brothers and sisters alike in Christ. And when you talk to them, you know that they've been in communion with heaven. They've been in touch with the Almighty. He had this testimony. What about his end? His departure. Remember, this was the seventh from Adam. Why does Jude write that? The seventh from Adam. we read in 1 Chronicles 1 and you trace it through, you'll see it's exactly that. It's the seventh from Adam. Well, you see, Cain had a son whose name was Enoch, the third from Adam. And he was a different kind of Enoch altogether. He didn't live up to his name. He wasn't dedicated. It was all about him, preserving his name. It's building a city after his name of his son Enoch. No, it's not the third from Adam. It's the seventh from Adam. And that one was different. Yes, he testified. Yes, he had a testimony. But this one was taken away. And sometimes in the Bible, this is why context is important. The same word it can be used to mean taken away in judgment. Remember that when the flood came, it says that the flood came and it took them all away, taken in judgment. But when Enoch was taken away, he was taken away in full fellowship with God. I remember talking with a young man many years ago, and we were remarking on the passing of a preacher that was well known to us both. And I said, you know, it's amazing to think of all those years he served. Never a blemish, never a public failure of any kind, always consistent. You could bank on his consistency of his life, and now he's gone home to his reward. And we were hearing earlier of one who has gone home to her reward. It's lovely to meet people like that. Amazing to think about a life lived for the glory of God. But when we were talking, the young fellow and I, I said, I'd like to finish my days that way, in fellowship with God's people. You know what my friend said? And he said, well, he said, I hope that will be the case, but there's one thing that's more important to me. I hope when my time comes that I die in fellowship with God. That was something. Enoch was taken away in fellowship with God. He wasn't taken away because he did something wrong. A man who walks with God, a man who's in communion with God, the time of his departure had come and he was not. For God took him. That's what we're told. Paul had a desire to depart. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. That's 2 Timothy 4. And he had a desire to depart. That's Philippians 1. Peter said, the putting off of my body will be soon. And he made arrangements for after my departure. 2 Peter chapter 1. We can make arrangements for our passing out of this world, and that's important to do those things. But spiritually, have you made the most important preparation of all? Like Enoch, a man who had faith in God, a man who was ready to meet God. Before he was taken, I loved that. He had this testimony that he pleased God. He did not see death. He was not found because God had taken him. Sometimes in Sunday school, they explain it this way. What do you think about Enoch and his walk with God and his end when God took him away? And stories told of a little Sunday school scholar and said, well, it's kind of like this. I think of it this way, that Enoch and God were out on a very long walk. And then finally God says to him, you know what, Enoch? You've been walking with me a long time. It's closer to my house than yours. Why don't you just come on home with me? That's a lovely thought, isn't it? Are you ready for a coming home? Should it be today? I am. I'm ready to depart because I know Christ as my Lord and Savior. lessons from his life. To walk with God is to please God. A God-pleasing life is a life of fullness. A life of fullness could very well be a short life, but it's still a full life. Being a busy mom or dad doesn't mean that you can't walk with God. Faith in God in every circumstance of our walk is 100% needed. To walk with God is to walk differently than most everyone else around us. It is to swim upstream. Please God, and you won't please the ungodly. You won't please the carnal. But a life of pleasure that pleases God will please the godly and just forget about everybody else. Enoch had a great understanding of the prophetical things that lay ahead, and he was not afraid to speak about them. And the very things that he proclaimed, though he would not see, he knew that what God had said was true. They would come to pass, and so he proclaimed them. Have you turned to God? Are you trusting God? Are you walking with him? Are you traveling with him? Are we testifying for him? And are we ready? Should we be taken to him? Wonderful thing to think in closing. The saints may not necessarily see death. We may be taken to be with him, to be like him. That's the hope of his coming. Let's pray. Our Father, we are grateful for lessons from the life of Enoch. And we readily confess that we know little, so little, of walking with and pleasing you. Help us then with renewed vigor and desire and submission to your will, that our lives, what's left of them, would count for God, would be lived for your glory, for the blessing of your people, for the salvation of souls, that something would be left of legacy that would testify to the wonder and glory of the eternal God. We give our thanks for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for salvation available for the one that turns in repentance and puts their faith in him. We ask your blessing on your word in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen.